On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the recent football game against Auburn, go over some updates from other Carolina sporting events, and recap my six-pack of picks. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 21 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, and I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and I don't want to see a plate, I don't want to see a cup, I don't want to see anything else but bowls. I'm going to eat everything out of bowls, I'm going to drink everything out of bowls, because the Gamecocks are going bowling. Family, we did it. The team did it. Shane Beamer, honestly, it is an incredible feat. The Gamecocks are going bowling. It's been an up-and-down season. We can all admit that there have been times where we wanted to pull our hair out, but come hell or high water, the Gamecocks are going to a bowl game. It is just a phenomenal feat, an incredible feeling. It was such a fun night. What a ball game. I mean, really, like, the Florida game, that win was a lot of fun. Like, we were ass-kicking, and it was just enjoyable. This was a football game. Like, this was back and forth, a comeback. It was close. It had a little bit of everything, and it's just incredible to come out on top. And what a year for Shane Beamer, first year as the head man at Carolina. Bravo, sir. Bravo. Now we got to bring it home. We got one more game in the regular season, and then obviously we have to prepare for the bowl game, but incredible. Hats off to him. Hats off to the whole team, but before I dive much more into that, I did want to recap some updates from other sporting events because the sports are rolling here. So we're going to go over this, and here we go. So women's volleyball, they took an L to Florida, 0-3. That's all right. You'll get them next time, girls. The men's basketball team, they played, it was the right when I was recording the last show, they were playing UAB. They ended up beating UAB, which is a big win. I mean, I was reading about it more after the game, and UAB, they have a good squad apparently. Like, they are going to be competing for their league title, so could see the UAB squad in the tournament. So that win could actually be pretty nice for Frank Martin and company. They take on Wofford on Tuesday, so hopefully we can keep the good vibes rolling, and who knows? Have a pretty nice start to our season there. The women's basketball team, if you recall, they are very lucky. They're down in the Bahamas, little tournament there. They beat Oregon in their second round matchup, 80-63, and are taking on UConn Monday at noon. So very early season matchup for two powerhouses in the Bahamas. Should be a great showdown and a perfect excuse to watch something while you're working from home, if that's your thing. Or, hey, it's at noon, you could, you know, pull over your lunch break, stream it. Why not? So good luck to the ladies, and let's stick it to UConn. And then also, big news, women's soccer, they beat Penn State. They are in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. So that is an incredible accomplishment. They're over in LA. They're kicking ass. So let's go, girls. Let's keep it rolling. I'm not sure who we play next, but be sure to keep an eye on that because, hey, it's anybody's ball game now, right? Like, we're in the Elite Eight. Like, we are legitimate contenders for national champions. So let's go, girls. But all right, now that we got the updates out of the way, I'm very glad for all of our Gamecock teams that are going out there. They're kicking ass. They're winning. But the big news from the weekend is the South Carolina football team beating Auburn and becoming bowl eligible. Now, there's a lot to unpack here. So let's just start with the sort of the themes, if you will, like the overarching themes of what this means. So right now, the Gamecocks sit at 6 wins. That is matching the past 2 years' combined win totals of 2 and 4. They're bowl eligible for first-year coach Shane Beamer, and the job he has done cannot be undersold or whatever. It just, it cannot be praised enough. We had transfers on both sides of the ball. We had guys go to the NFL. Like, our top playmakers were gone. We had a weird abbreviated sort of, you can't get the full offseason, the recruiting cycle and everything like that. And he comes in and he provided a steady hand. And the number one job that everyone said that he had to do was to change the culture. And let me tell you something. I think it's fair to say that he has done that. I know some people were giving him crap because he's always talking about how much we love each other and we're grateful for everybody and everything like that. And people just kind of wanted to see like hard-nosed football stuff. But guess what? That's not what this team needed. This team needed a pat on the back and for someone to say like, hey, I got your back and I love you. Because what you see is that vibe and that positivity, it is on the sidelines. This team was down 14-0 to start this game against Auburn. You did not see anyone hanging their head. You did not see anybody kind of quitting, right? We've seen Gamecock teams really largely under Muschamp get down early, and it was over. And all year, that has been a consistent thing that we have said about this football team, is that they do not quit. Even in the blowouts, they were competing at the very end, and what you saw was the antithesis of that against Auburn. So it's an incredible feat. And to really show that, like, hey, South Carolina is building something. I think people were early to say, like, oh, Brian Harsin at Auburn is doing a great job. I mean, even I was saying it, right? But now people are looking at, well, they've had a pretty bad back half of the year. Like, maybe they were a little too quick to think that. And some people in the national media were questioning Shane Beamer's hire, right? His lack of head coaching experience. And now I think those people are realizing what he is doing and the job he is building. And it just is really, really great to see. But as I was saying, it was a complete game, right? Gamecocks go down 14-0 early. They score 14 in the second quarter to answer. And they score 7 in the third. And they hold on to the lead. I think what's incredible, and we talked about Clayton White in the last show getting nominated for the Broyles Award, they gave up 14 quick points. Talk about in-game adjustments. Defense gave up 3 points the rest of the game. Like, people are, on like the Auburn side, they're going to say, oh, well, like the punt and the bad fourth and one call where they threw it. But guess what? Like, that doesn't matter. Like, you had 3 quarters to score, and you did not. Clayton White was able to contain Tank Bigsby just enough. I mean, he had some big runs. I was honestly surprised that Auburn just didn't keep feeding it to him because he really did make an impact when he did. But through the air, you had guys making plays. A guy that jumped off the screen for me was Carlins Patel. He had a couple of nice pass breakups. Darius Rush was there. These guys stepped up. Cam Smith got hurt. Now, hopefully he's going to be okay, but he was banged up that game. He did not play a good chunk, and everyone else stepped up. They did not make Finley comfortable. That was one of my crows to the game, that you want to be able to rush him a little bit, get him on the ground, knock him around a little bit, and they were able to do that. And in key spots, too, they were able to get after him. I believe Jordan Strawn had a nice sack. Like, you had guys getting after it, and that front seven really earned the respect of Auburn. Talked about that fourth and one play. I think that the reason they threw it was because that they respected our front seven and did not feel confident in their own line to really get that gain. So really it's a kudos to the defense for stepping up. Really, like all year they've done it. We've praised them. And I think what's really cool to see is just how well the defense has played and the team at home. Like, the bad loss to Kentucky, like, that one hurt, right? That's first SEC game of the year. It's still the new coach and everything like that. Like, I'm not making excuses, but to see how this team has played this year at home says a lot to me. Because when you're able to defend your home field, especially a defense, like, when we were rolling in sort of the golden age, if you will, of South Carolina football, we were unstoppable at home. And the defense in particular, number one red zone defense in the country, like, it was just a dominant force. And when you're able to do that, it makes life a lot easier. And it makes the environment so much better. And the fans, they get so into it. Like, Willie B was rocking last night. Like, that was vintage Willie B. The place was packed, right? Florida game said the same thing, right? But this one, you had to be there till the end, right? It was a close game, a one possession game. And so the fans did a phenomenal job. And that is all a testament to Shane Beamer, right? He's brought energy back to the program. He's brought expectations back to the program. And yes, sometimes that can be a double-edged sword, but that is a double-edged sword that I think any coach would want to have to wield, right? Like, I want the expectations to win. Shane Beamer said it when he was hired. This is not a 2 or 3 year rebuild. He was coming, and he was coming to turn this around year one, and he was coming to win right away. Now, I think some of that might be a little coach speak and whatnot, but he did it. Like, we are going to a bowl game. It's incredible, and that is great for recruiting. It's great for player development for some of these younger guys getting those extra practices. It's just great for the brand, and it's just good to see South Carolina getting back there. Now, yes, we want to see progression, right? You don't want to have to go to your last two games of the year trying to become bowl eligible. That the minimum expectation should be this year, where we're a little bit over 500 or a 500 ball club, depending on the week, right? But hopefully, as we progress, we get to see these 7 wins, 8 wins, and so on. But whatever, because I am just so damn happy, and it is electric. I mean, not to toot my own horn here, but like when the season started, you know, Vegas had us, I've said this a couple times, Vegas had our wins at 3.5, 4, depending on where you got it. I looked at the schedule and I was like, a decent football team should be able to get 6 wins out of this schedule. Now, I didn't think it was going to come against Florida and Auburn. I think maybe one of those you could do an upset. I thought it would be Missouri, Tennessee, maybe Kentucky, but hey, doesn't matter. Like, because we are going bowling and it is an incredible feat, but let's jump into what I liked and what I didn't like, and I'll wrap up with my six-pack of picks. So what did I like? Starting with the defense, I already praised them, but they need more praise. Essentially pitching a shutout for 3 quarters. They got down early. I mean, it was not looking good. I believe they scored. It was their 2 out of their first 3 drives, Auburn did. And to be able to buckle down and adjust in the game is an incredible job. They made Finley uncomfortable. They, you know, even when he was throwing it, he was overthrowing it. I think he felt rushed. Like, even though they didn't get home every time, they were getting close. And Clayton White was able to dial up some different looks, and I thought it was a phenomenal job. So really, bravo to him. I mean, Bigsby, yeah, he did go off a little bit, but you held TJ Finley to under 200 yards passing, right? 32 attempts, 188 yards, like, that's not very efficient. So really great job, guys. I mean, they made Auburn one-dimensional. And it was the one dimension that they felt they were strongest. But hey, anytime you can do that to a team, it's going to give you a good chance to win. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, just like I said in my crows to the game, I'm just a guru lately. But we leaned on our playmakers. Zee White and Josh Van, it was their game. Both had scores. And that is what you have to do. You have to give the ball to your trusted playmakers. Josh Van, what an incredible story. Like, he suffered for, I think he's a senior, if I'm not mistaken. He suffered for 3 years under Muschamp, barely getting looks. People saying he was a bust, he drops the ball, yada, yada, yada. He is as steady as they come and has done himself a huge favor. He'll be playing for money. He'll be playing on Sundays. You can promise that. And is great to see, and you have to lean on him, especially in those red zone situations. Now, Zee White, I cannot praise this guy enough. I was watching with a good friend of mine, and he had a great observation about how patient he is. And we drew the comparison to Le'Veon Bell when in his prime, where Zaquandre, he would get the handoff and he would bounce around a little bit, maybe take a couple steps, but he is so great at a jump cut, and then his acceleration after the fact. I mean, when he was going across the field, and then on the fourth down where they threw it to him, like, he was gone. Like, he had those guys beat by a mile. He is an incredible guy, and he too is someone who has a pretty great story. Florida State, JUCO transfer, wasn't really used all that well before this year. and has really burst on the scene. So really great to see him have that game. And that's what you have to do. I mean, Jason Brown, he only threw the ball, you know, 15 attempts, right? So that's what you're saying. You're saying, hey, we're going to lean on the run game. We're going to be stubborn with the run. And when we throw it, we're going to make sure we throw it to someone we know can make a play like Josh Van. And it's exactly what they did. Kevin Harris, he had a nice couple runs too. Like, you have to lean on the guys that you know. And I felt that they did cater to Brown a little bit more. And you saw him trying to step up more. He didn't really try that Russell Wilson spin move. The O-line, the pass blocking, it was spotty at times. But the run blocking, we were running wild. So, hey, they stepped up just enough as they did. And were there moments in the offensive play calling that I felt were a little suspect? Yes. Early in the game, I thought the play calling was a little weird. When we were backed in our own territory, it felt like we were just going for the home run. And Jason Brown, he made that mistake where he threw that pick. And it's just, but hey, they did just enough to get the job done. So it's incredible to see. And then how about finally getting a little bit of luck at last with the punt that grazed the Auburn player for us to seal the game. And it is just a bit of luck at last, Samwise Gamgee. Like, it is just amazing to have that fortune finally fall our way. We've lost games on that type of play before. It sucks being on that side of it. But even if that was the case, like, even if it wasn't a fumble, then Auburn was going to have to go 90 yards and score a touchdown. And the way our defense was playing was, I felt confident in that. And I thought that that was the correct play. It's funny. That makes me think of that fourth and one where Zaquandre White did score. I was like, oh man, I think you should take the points here. Like, we've seen this before, Beamer. And when he went to throw it, I was losing my mind. But he was wide open. Oh, and also the big man touchdown, Trey Jones. Big shout out. Like, excellent play. Like, oh, just a fun game. Like, this was a complete game. Both sides of the ball did their job, right? You hold any opponent to 17 points, you're going to be in the ball game. And the offense, they held up their end of the bargain. You scored three times. It's not crazy. That's about our average, 20 points or so. So you did your job. Like, both teams, both units rather, did their job. And you come out on top. And now the story of the 2021 Gamecocks, it's a team of fighters. And a team that buckled down and didn't give up. Even after bad losses, like A&M, Tennessee, Mizzou, they were able to bounce back. Fun fact, an incredible fact actually, is this team has never had a losing record this year. We've either been at or above 500 the entire year. Started the year 2-0, two-game skid, but then bounced back. Being able to do that shows fight. And this team will continue to fight. And now we have to get our pitchforks and our rifles and whatever you need, because it is Clemson Hate Week and we need to keep fighting, and we got to fight like hell and defend Willie B. But more on that next episode. So let's wrap up with my six-pack picks here real quick. I'm not going to go game by game because your boy didn't have a great week again. Losing streak. I need some fight. We went 2-4 with the hits being the NC State. They covered minus 11. They beat Syracuse by a billion. And ECU and Navy, that did go over. So hey, at least I got that. But the big story, two stories actually, out of college football, Oregon lost. So now that opens the door for someone else to come into the top four. As it sits today, if you ask me, it should be Cincinnati, where you move Ohio State up to 3 or even put them at 2. I mean, they rocked Michigan State. And then you put Cincy there in the 4 spot. And it also opens up the door for a lot of debate, because what if Michigan beats them and wins the Big Ten? They could jump Cincinnati. It's going to be very, very interesting, this rivalry. I can't say it again. This upcoming weekend, and then the conference championship game. And then also the news out of Florida is that they fired Dan Mullen. So let's give ourselves a little bit of pat on the back. I think it was a loss to Missouri, which ultimately got him axed. But hey, I like to think we had something to do with that Carolina Gamecocks. Good job. But with that, that wraps up today's episode. Let's just bask in this. I mean, what a season. What a year. We're going bowling. Break out your bowling shoes. I don't care where it is. Oh, I have my bowl bet. I'm going to go head to toe in whatever city bowl game we go to. So if it's Birmingham, I'm going to buy a Birmingham hat, going to get a Birmingham sweater. If it's Tampa, do the same. And then, of course, if we end up on the right side of the ball game, I'm going to go head to toe in that gear. I don't care what bowl it is. I'm going to go head to toe in it. But please make sure to follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Talking Gamecocks. Excuse me, that's Instagram, Cox Talking Gamecocks. Too excited. Can't speak. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. And please like and subscribe to the podcast. If you're able to leave a review, please do. If you're able to leave stars, please do. I appreciate any and all feedback. And with that, let's go, Cox. We're going bowling.